Black is queen and black is king. Black is royalty, see the majesty shining, glowing, golden gracefully. Black is brotherhood and sorority. Melanated, yes, original, peep the prototype. We got all the types, if gene been in his genes. Tights or loose shapes in those jeans. Black is stylish, black is elegant. We blacknificent, it's so evident. Black is rooted, you're futuristic, animistic and optimistic. Black's ethereal, universal. We don't die, we'll multiply. Black spiritual, so divine. You can tell it was by design. Black is rhythm and the blues. The soulful jazz, rock and hip hop. So expandable, see us pop. You really can't be in our shoes. Black is cool and black is hot. Black is rising, we don't let up. Black is history, black is culture. We clearly see all these vultures. Black is energy and abundance. Black is sacred, deep connected. Not a monolith, stand corrected. Lose your mind, we stay collected. Black is excellent and resilient. Rich and lean. To fit in, black is beautiful, pride and magical.
Pride and magical.
We know who we are.
They don't wanna see us win, all because we got all this melanin. Racing all the jewels within, talking ain't dead. Powers to be told.
Sorry, we're a little late. Welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Holle.
My name is Violet, and this is Therapy Hour.
Because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam peoples.
Holle,
what?
If you were a vegetable, you'd be a cute cumber. You like that?
That was all right. I feel like it could have been better.
Really?
And maybe if you were a fruit, you'd be a cutie.
Oh, what is that?
Like a tangerine.
Oh, like a little mini orange?
Yes, some may say. Also a mini orange.
A tangerine, is that what that's called?
Yeah, but they also call them like the brand cuties.
Right.
Did you not know what a tangerine was?
No. But, you know, that's okay.
That's fine.
We've been covering some pretty heavy topics this past few weeks on Therapy Hour, so we wanted to do something a little bit different this week. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're discussing, I don't know if you could tell from the opener, but we're discussing flirting.
Yes.
And while in theory this is a lighter topic, because for some people flirting is a fun thing, for a lot of people it's actually kind of a stressful thing as well.
Yeah, and I'm a lot of people. I find flirting to be an incredibly stressful thing to do, especially if I'm actually interested in the person that I'm supposed to be flirting with. Because, you know, there's always the little flirtatious being that you can be with people that you may not particularly want to do anything else with. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, like, I was thinking about it a lot in preparation for this episode, and I feel like a big thing for me is, like, when the places in my life where I'm flirting is usually at parties or when I'm meeting people around others. And I feel like for me, the biggest thing is the idea that other people can see me and are watching me. And honestly, kind of just feels cringy. like I'm like, oh god, this is so embarrassing.
Yeah, you're like not in the moment with that person that you're actually flirting with. You're like thinking about being observed.
Yes. And I feel like and also I get really nervous that I'm looking too into the person that's flirting with me, so I need like explicit confirmation. And by explicit I don't mean that this person is flirting back with me. I mean I need to go and talk to people and be like, is this person flirting with me, or am I really just imagining it?
Or best of all, if like a mutual friend discloses to you like, oh yeah, by the way, they're really into you, and then you're like, okay, I can go for it.
Yeah, sometimes. And sometimes I still need some extra precautions. There's definitely been times where I've pulled Violet at parties and I'm like, am I reading into this? And she's like, yes. Or not reading it. Am I reading into this? And you say, no, this person is obviously like, flirting with you.
Yeah, I confirm that the flirt is happening.
I feel like I need a lot of that like confirmation, and I need them to also be like really on it, and I don't like initiating it.
Well, it makes sense, because flirting, you are kind of putting yourself out there, you're letting this other person know that you're into them, and if other people are around, they can maybe pick up on that too.
Yeah,
but I mean, have you literally ever looked over at people flirting and been like, oh my god, that's so embarrassing?
Honestly?
Have you?
Sometimes.
Oh no.
Not that it's embarrassing. I think that I just see people flirting sometimes and I immediately just like avert my eyes, because I'm like,
yeah, it does feel invasive to see from.
Yeah, and I feel like there's been, I'm sure you've been a part of situations before where you're like maybe in like a little trio and you're like, oh, we're having so much fun, and then you see the two of them getting along and you're like, oh, I'm third wheeling.
I gotta get out of this situation real fast.
So I wouldn't say I'm like saying it's embarrassing. It's just like, I'm like, oh, they're flirting. Yeah. Whatever. But you're a flirty gal.
I like to flirt from time to time. I enjoy a good flirt. And I feel like I've come into a fun place in my life where I can also kind of just like be flirty even in my friendships sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's honestly been the most fun.
Yes.
I love to have a good flirty friendship, but it doesn't need to go anywhere, you know, and it can still be fun.
Yeah.
But I also do enjoy flirting with intention.
Yes.
I definitely understand the nerve-wracking part of it. But I think in general, like, flirting is enjoyable because, like, you just find yourself smiling a lot. The other person is smiling a lot. And, like, it's very, like, you might be complimenting each other, teasing each other. And it's just, like, an interaction that you get to have with another person where you're both, like, very focused in on each other and having fun and being playful together.
Well, you're really good at flirting.
Do you think so?
I think so, and I think a lot of our other friends also think this.
Yeah, I did have one of our mutual friends talk about how she sees me like walk into a social situation, just be open, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like open to a little flirt.
I think you're always open to a little flirt, which is something I've always very much admired about you, because I'll look over and I'm like, this is so effortless. Like, you just are going around, and then sometimes you'll walk past and I'm like, ooh, like, what was that? And you're like, I don't know, I'm just going about my day.
Yeah. Was I flirting? Was I really flirting?
That's what that was.
Oh my god. I have a friend who definitely has a very natural flirty personality.
Yeah.
So I don't actually know if she always realizes that she's flirting.
Yes.
But it's so funny because I'll like talk to her about like, I don't know, someone that she was previously seeing that she wasn't interested in anymore.
Yeah.
And then I'll listen in on their conversation. I'm like, you are still fully flirting with this person. And then I'll talk to her about it after, and she's like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, what am I going to do, you know? Like, this is just who I am.
It's so funny to think about that. Well, I was going to say, as the flirting expertise that you are, as we were planning this episode, we had a very good memory pop up of when I was telling Violet about, like, wanting to get back in the dating game. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I need to flirt, but I really don't know how to. And you were like, yes, you do. And I was like, no, I really, really don't. And Violet and I sat in our 2-bedroom apartment where it was just the two of us.
Yep.
And we sat next to each other and we role played.
Yeah, we did.
Violet was the person that I was pursuing, and I was me. And then we would switch. And you were like, well, then you can do this.
Right.
And honestly, it was very helpful. I enjoyed it.
Have you been able to implement any of those tips and tricks?
I feel like your general tips and tricks are usually taken into account by me. A lot of the like touch their arm and like you always say like look into their eyes and like have a moment of silence, which I don't like. That's not something I do. But
how do you kiss then?
I just go for it. But I feel like, you know, you were saying that, you know, flirting comes very naturally to you, mm-hmm. and you really like it and it's very fun. But, you know, when I was thinking about flirting initially, I was just thinking about flirting with men.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that some people who are interested in more than one gender have somewhat different experiences mm-hmm. when they are flirting with different genders. So
totally.
Do you feel like it's different when you're flirting with non-men?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, for me, like, I don't want to come off sounding like, I don't know, I'm making too big of a generalization or
no,
like
that's okay.
being sexist or something. But I feel like as a woman and a femme presenting person, there's very, like, I can interact with a man and fully not be intending to flirt and just be kind of, like, friendly.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's taken as flirting more times than it's not.
Absolutely.
You know? Like, there it's not that you don't have to do anything to flirt with men, but, like, you have to do less, I would say, maybe.
Yes.
And in my experience with non-cis men, it's a whole different game, you know, like, to be playing. Like, it's this intense thing of, like, I think a lot of women are naturally, like, very friendly and like complimentary and things like that, and so when I'm trying to flirt with someone,
yes.
that may not be taken as flirting. It may just be taken as friendly. And also, if I don't know the sexuality of another person,
right,
I just, like, it feels a lot more stressful for me because I'm like, how do I make it clear that I am flirting with you and
right.
not just trying to be your friend?
Right.
But also, I have this other stress in the back of my head of, like, you know, I don't want to come off as predatory or make you uncomfortable.
Right.
Because I've certainly been in, you know, situations where I'm like, I'm very uncomfortable right now.
Right.
So I don't want to be too forward, but I don't want to be too passive. It's like a very delicate balance to be, you know, trying to strike.
And I think, first and foremost, I think that your logic throughout this is very good. I'm glad that I think I hear a lot of women say this, like a lot of queer women talking about how they're like, well, I don't want to come off too, you know, too aggressive or anything mm-hmm. and whatever. It's like, I actually feel like that's pretty good. Like, maybe that makes the situation a little bit more stressful and like mm-hmm. makes you have to dig in a little bit more. But like, I have had personally, and I'm sure you have also had multiple experiences where it's like, it's, and my cases have been usually men that mm-hmm. have been like actively trying to flirt with me and pursue something, and I'm trying to do everything
mm-hmm.
to be very polite
yeah.
and trying to be like, no, I don't want to do this. And like, I think that there is a fear on my end that's like, I don't want to do this to somebody else, and I definitely mm-hmm. don't want to do this to like another like woman or another femme person, like
yeah.
And I think that's a really good place to be in some ways, to be like, I want to check in with myself.
Well, obviously, you know, that's why that's like the fear, because
right.
you can empathize with being on the other end of things, and
right.
in that way it is good. You're not going to make someone uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think the bad side of it is that maybe then nothing happens.
I know.
Because you're holding yourself back so much that you're not actually getting the message across that you're interested in this person.
But you could just tell them that you're interested in them.
No. Why would you ever do that? What's the fun in that?
It's just so funny to think about how I think so many people can just have so many conversations about like, what's the right way to flirt? And it's so funny because flirting is this thing that we do to show interest, but it's almost like we can't say everything.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be a little sneaky.
Yeah.
We have to be a little
sneaky.
Well,
and that way someone can sneakily reject you and it doesn't have to be a harsh rejection right to your face.
And that, you know what? I love that.
Yeah.
I love a sneaky rejection.
I much prefer it to a regular rejection.
Because I feel like at some point it's like I can probably tune into a little bit of like, this person's not reciprocating anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, great.
Yeah. No
I'll back
problem.
Off.
No problem at all.
No problem at all.
Yeah. What about, do you resonate with kind of how I feel about the difference of flirting with men versus non-men?
Funnily enough, not really.
Okay.
Because I feel like I'm a bit opposite. I actually think it's so much easier to flirt with people who are not men.
Mm.
But that's mostly because I just think of them as friends. Mm-hmm. And I've been told, I remember having this conversation with a friend like a couple of weeks ago where I was telling her how like I'm really bad at flirting. I'm not very good. And she's like, oh, that's really surprising. Like, I feel like I see you in social gatherings and like you'd be a very flirty person. I was like, maybe. Mm-hmm. But like when it comes to actually like thinking about like this man that's in front of me and that I'm interested in it, like I clam up and I don't mm-hmm. know what to do. Whereas like I find that when I'm flirting specifically with like women or femme presenting people that like I'm so comfortable around like femme people and see them so often as like just wanting to be friends anyways. And so in my head, I'm like, oh, I can be flirty in the friend way that we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. So if this leads to something, then like that's great. But then mm-hmm. if it doesn't and it just turns into like a friendship,
right?
There's no skin off my back.
Interesting.
I have had one interaction. I remember with a very, very pretty girl and she was flirting back with me. And uh-huh. then I got so nervous. I didn't know what to do with yeah. myself. But in general, like I find, I don't know, because I was thinking about it and I was like, I think it's just, you know, I've talked a little bit on this podcast and definitely to Violet a lot about how, like, I just didn't grow up with that much, like, male attention. Mm-hmm. So I think I tend to just assume, like, the way you were talking about, like, how you get in these positions sometimes with men where they think you're flirting with mm-hmm. them, but you're not. I don't really expect that the men around me are interested.
Taking what you're doing as flirting.
Yeah, I almost always assume that any man that is showing me any type of attention is just trying to be friends.
Interesting.
And like maybe there's like aspects to it where like maybe I'll leave and be like, oh, like maybe that there was something there. Mm-hmm. But the amount of stories that I have about like walking away from a situation and someone was like, he was really just flirting with you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I didn't know. I think that's something about like women and femmes is like, I feel like it's just very easily discernible that mm-hmm. like I've had it before where like, I think that this girl is flirting with me and I've told you about it and I'm like, yeah, it was great. I feel like there's just not as much pressure on like non-men for me. And mm-hmm. that's why it doesn't feel as like, oh my God, what am I going to do in this situation? So I just like it because then I'm like, ooh, like this is so friendly and yeah. nice.
I guess I just get stressed because I'm like, does this person know I'm flirting? Like, do they know I think they're very cute, you know? Like, and I've seen a lot of that on TikTok as well, where it's like literally like queer people teaching other little baby queers how to compliment someone in a way yeah. that actually comes off as flirty and not just like, oh my God, bestie, like you look so cute.
Supposed to like deepen your voice, right?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Yeah.
So if you guys catch me doing that out, I mean, that
I know, we're kind of exposing ourselves right now. I feel like if we're going to start talking about flirting tactics and everyone's going to be like, okay, so they are really just flirting with me right now.
Yeah, we can't show our face for like 6 months after this, just in case.
Well, we were talking a lot about friendly flirting or like flirting with friends, but I also feel like there's this weird line between being friendly and being flirty.
Well, it's a very fuzzy line, I yes. would say. Like, there's so many times when I'm not sure whether that was a friendly compliment that I just got or a flirty compliment.
Right.
And I think it is because being forward, like, the fun of flirting is that you don't have to fully, like, ask someone out, you know, it's kind of you like putting out feelers for another person. Right. Are they going to receive this well and kind of flirt back?
Yeah.
Or are they going to kind of retract? And then you can kind of be like, okay, maybe I won't ask for their number.
Yeah. Well, do you think they're like, what would you say the biggest difference between like if you were interacting with like a new friend and then also a new person that you're trying to flirt with, what would be like the main distinction for you?
Of what I do?
Yeah.
I noticed
if there is a distinction.
Yeah,
as well.
I don't know. It's a little bit hard to pinpoint, but I would say like you said, I feel like eye contact is one of my my biggest tactics, and I feel a little uncomfortable sometimes in eye contact with like friends all the time, like consistent, like long eye contact.
Yeah.
So if I have engaged more eye contact with you, I've probably flirted with you.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I feel like that's the main difference. Do you have a big difference between the two?
Not in the slightest. Other than, like, I think when it starts getting maybe a little bit more touchy,
mm-hmm.
but, like, even then, like, I used to think that my main way of flirting was, like, play fighting. Mm-hmm. But then I realized I really do that with everyone. Because I remember saying that to somebody and then going to a party later on and then play fighting with them. And I was like, I'm not trying to flirt with them. I just want to do this.
Yeah, that's
But I feel
true.
Like there's, I feel like for me, the main difference is more like the time that I spend with the person.
Oh yeah, like so giving them special attention.
Yeah, which is like always what you tell me to do. You're always like, go back. Go and give them. And I think it's really difficult because I get nervous, but especially when like this other person is really reciprocating, I will like, you know, not spend my entire night with them, but like I feel like I'll constantly be like turning back. Whereas like I feel like when I'm at parties with, you know, lots of friends and lots of people that I know, I'm constantly just like bouncing around every single person. But I feel like if there was someone there I'm interested in and then I want to be kind of flirty with, I'm going to just like be with them, look for them all the time.
Exactly. Well, that's kind of one of the tips I gave you, I feel like, was like, put yourself in their shoes. Like, would you think that someone was interested in you if they were like bouncing all around and like not giving you any particular focus? Or would you think that they're interested in you if they were like really making an effort to like stand next to you, chat to you, whatever? Like, and I think that if anyone out there is struggling with flirting, I think that's a great way to kind of do the reversal of like, how would I expect this person to show interest in me, and can I do that for them?
Yeah, I think sometimes there's a part of me that just wants to be kind of mysterious, which is not good.
No, but that's fair. I think that's very natural.
Well, and then also, like, you know, we were talking a little bit about, we've talked about this actually for a very long time, about like the differences between like flirting and being friendly. And I think the biggest thing too is just like, what are your intentions? Like, and I think that, you know, in some like non like verbal way can actually really come off to someone, whether that's like, you know, eye contact or leaning in more or touching them more or spending more time with them or like being very complimentary, like all this, all that different things I think can like bleed into the way that you treat someone that you would be more interested in versus just a friend.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you and I have complained before about some of the straight girlies.
The straight girlies.
We know and love.
We support them.
But as someone who is queer, like, sometimes I am getting the wrong signals from someone.
Oh my
God. Especially I find all the time, like, people laughing and, like, touching my arm.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And, like, it almost like makes me uncomfortable because I know that they're not trying to flirt with me, but it feels extremely flirtatious at the same time. So I'm kind of like, are you sure you want to do that? Like, I do like women. Like, please. I'm begging
I do
you.
Like women. What am I showing? Well, I think it's so interesting. I think I gave a little bit of flack to the straight girlies for like, especially the arm touching thing. But as someone who has recently overcome their aversion to physical touch, I've noticed that I actually do that a lot. Like, even the other night, I remember like being with a friend of mine and she was just like laughing along, doing whatever, and I was like touching her leg every time she said something, and I'm not interested in this girl, like, I don't want to do anything, and I was doing it a lot. And then it clicked in my brain, like, I don't think she thought anything of it, but I was like, oh, I've had this happen to me before, and I've been like, is this person trying to flirt with me? And I think that, you know, within queer relationships, it's interesting how, like, a lot of friends I know struggle with how to flirt, because it feels, especially as, like, being femme and then being in places with men, it, to me, feels like they're going to just, like, take the reins, and like once they start showing interest in me, I can be the one to like respond. So it's either like me being like, no, I don't want this, or being like, oh my God, like, this is great. Whereas like, I feel like when you're doing it in a queer space, it's like, who's gonna take the you know how there's those really weird straight people that are like, who wears the pants in this relationship? But it's like kind of like that. I'm like, who's gonna take the reins? I'm so nervous.
I know. Well, I do feel like it's part of that is so liberating that there aren't those rigid rules and a strict guidebook to follow like there are in like straight relationships. But at the same time, it's also kind of daunting as well.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to take a quick little break to listen to a flirty song. We chose the song Come On To Me by Paul McCartney. And when we come back, Halle has done some excellent research into the science of flirting. We'll be right back.
I saw you flash a smile that seemed to me to say you wanted so much more than casual conversation. I swear I caught a look.
Refresh your memory. Russians. That's right. Russians. Ruskies. Communists. Communists. Oh, now you remember.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Russian Tim, and I'm the host of weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. Every Tuesday, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m., Rocket from Russia is aired on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, or CITR.ca, anywhere where internet is paid for.
That was my flirty voice.
That was so flirty.
Yeah, if you hear me speaking in that voice to you, I'm definitely flirting. And maybe a little bit desperate because I don't know why in the world I'd be speaking like that. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. We've reached our very, very flirty research portion. And when I tell you that there is a surprising amount of research on flirting.
That's awesome.
It's great. I'm so excited that there are people that are getting funding to literally learn how we flirt.
Yeah, that's sick. I love that. I am so curious, like, what those studies look like.
Yeah, they're very interesting.
Yeah.
So the first thing I wanted to cover a little bit, because I just thought it was very fascinating because I'm a nerd and I like brains, was talking a little bit about what happens to your brain when you're flirting. And the main thing here is, without any of the scientific jargon, is that a lot of the different chemicals released in your brain and the limbic system specifically that is activated is the same chemicals and system that happens during fight, flight, or freeze, which I found fascinating because I was like, why in the world?
That's strange.
And then, so there's a lot of interesting hypotheses, and I was really struggling trying to find like an actual peer-reviewed journal about this. There was a lot of like those pseudoscience places that were like, this is the reason why like your body goes into like shock when you flirt, which was not correct. But the main thing I found was that the symptoms of flirting are the same, are very closely related to fear, which I thought was interesting. And there's not really like a big explanation as to why. It feels like it's very close to excitement.
Right. That's true. Like if you think about anxiety and how you can feel anxious when you're like nervous about something, but also when you're excited about something.
Yeah. So it might be just like to kickstart your system. Like the biggest thing that I found that was so interesting was that your metabolism starts slowing down because your heart starts sending blood to like other parts of your brain because all these brain chemicals are just like shooting through the roof. And it reminded me of this study that I learned about a few years ago called the Capilano Suspension Bridge research program project. It's a really big research project. It's super famous. And the main gist of it was that they sent out this attractive woman. That's what they said in the study, an attractive woman to the suspension bridge and found different men around that were like on the different bridges. And if you've never been to the Capilano Suspension Bridge, it's a very like, I don't know, very movie bridge.
Wobbly, perhaps.
Wobbly bridge.
Movie, I love that.
Movie. Yeah, so, you know, it can kind of elicit some fear responses. And so what you did was, like, ask them to, I think, write a story or something like that. And then at the end of the study, gave her number to them, or quote-unquote her number.
It was, wait, she asked them while they were on the bridge to write a story?
Well, she saw them on the bridge. I'm sure she brought them off.
Okay.
And then asked if they wanted to be a part of a study.
Okay.
Asked to them to write a story.
Uh-huh.
And then asked them, or then gave them her number.
Okay.
Then she also did this at another bridge at a nearby like national park.
Okay.
But it was a very secure bridge. Uh-huh. So that was kind of like their control.
Okay.
And what they found was the people in the suspension bridge part of the research, they were more likely to text her afterwards. So this was sort of their idea, was like these people were more attracted to this woman.
That makes sense. It's like bringing your date to watch a horror movie.
Yes, exactly.
You're afraid and then you hold each other and then you feel security with that person.
And the hypothesis is that because fear and like the aspects of attraction and flirting are so closely related in the brain, and the responses are so closely related, is that you can like kind of like manipulate the situation of like, if you elicit fear out of someone, their brain may take it as being attracted to you.
That's so interesting.
But it can also backfire, because if the person is really unattracted to you, then they'll get even more unattracted to you.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, this is an attractive woman. Like,
right.
What if we, I don't know, had like more of an average looking woman or something?
Right. Yeah. They obviously, you know, these studies aren't perfect, but the main thing here is kind of to show that like these spaces bring out this like attraction, flirty side of people.
Gotcha.
So I thought that was very cool.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And then I kept digging deeper
into
the world of flirting science.
Right.
And I found this guy called Jeffrey Hall, who has literally made an inventory of the 5 types of flirting styles.
What?
There's a test we can do online.
Oh my god.
And I wish I would have learned about this earlier. I did a bit of last minute research. I'm sorry, everyone. But, you know, I'll post the website for everyone if they want to go and see what type of flirting style they were. But I was going to read all of them out, and I was thinking maybe you can tell me if you resonate with any of them.
My god, I'm so excited.
Okay. So the first one is a physical flirter.
Okay.
So being a physical flirter is pretty much someone who is very comfortable showing their interest through their own physicality. So they're very comfortable with their body. They're very comfortable with touching people.
Okay.
And for them, it's very easy for them to flirt with someone, like to convey their interest to someone. And it's also very easy for them to see when someone is interested in them. They're very confident in their flirting styles.
Okay.
Then we have the traditional flirter. And then this person tends to believe in like very traditional flirting and romantic roles, very like gendered roles. So the like men should make the first move. Oh, I was gonna do a little preface to this. Unfortunately, almost all these studies, aside from one of them that I'm gonna talk about, are all done on straight people.
Oh, so that is disappointing.
It is disappointing,
but also to be expected.
To be expected, and also
in the research world,
we'll talk a little bit about this afterwards because that does come up a little bit later. Okay. But yeah, so believe that men should make the first move, women should be pursued. There's a lot of like sexual scripts of like what, like the way that you should be acting on a first date, who should be paying, how this person should be talking. So that's the traditional flirter. Then we have the sincere flirter. And this is the type of person that tends to use emotional connection to show their interest.
Okay.
This person tends to not want to like establish their flirting for like a sexual reason. It's more so for something a bit more serious.
Okay.
Then you have the polite flirter. And this is when someone, and they literally use the term polite rules to show their interest.
Okay.
Which kind of just means like manners, non-sexual communication, and not being very forward. So it's like being very polite and very complimentary, but you're not doing anything like too direct.
Right.
And you're not being very like forward, and you're definitely not being like over sexual in any way.
Got it.
Then you have, lastly, the playful flirter. That was a bit of a tongue twister for me.
Playful flirter.
And this is this person that tends to flirt to enhance their own self-esteem.
Oh, wow.
So it's not only used for courtship. It's sometimes just used as a very like playful and fun thing for this person to do.
That's funny.
They're not really doing it for like an outcome all the time. And they tend to seek physical validation and have like increased their self-esteem. So all these different styles had like very consistent behavioral or behaviors and like nonverbal cues that they tested on like a bunch of people, which I'm not going to get into, but I thought it was very interesting because, again, I would like to say my piece about how when we see these different categories, they're usually scales. So like I can look at these and think to myself, like, I could see myself being somewhat playful. But honestly, I can also at times find myself going into the traditional mode of like just how I like receive flirtation, like flirty invitations and like the way that I want to go about it. So what do you think? What do you think you most resonate with?
I mean, honestly, there were definitely, as you were saying, kind of aspects of a lot of them that resonated a little bit. But I would say historically.
Yes. Historically, yes.
Historically, in my many days of flirting, I feel like I resonated with sincere a lot.
Aww.
I'm also like a very like relationship prone person.
Yes, of course.
So I'm like, yeah, tell me about like your family. How's that going?
You're at a really
so
like,
nice to meet
loud
you.
Party. Yeah. And you're like outside and you're like, so like, how was
are
your
you
childhood?
Really? Yeah, how are you really? But I feel like recently, I've like you were saying, I definitely resonate with like the playful flirting a little bit too.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. Also, when you were reading it, it made me like insecure that I was resonating with it because it talks about like, I don't know. It seems kind of like a self-indulgent way to flirt.
Yeah, I mean, it comes off that way. I think that the main thing that they're trying to get across is that this person isn't particularly flirting for a relationship. They're just flirting because it feels fun and it feels good to do it.
Yeah.
Which I think is
I guess just the wording of like validation and like boosting self-esteem. I was like, oh, is that what I've been doing?
Maybe. Yeah. I've definitely done it in the past.
Is that what you predicted me to say?
No, I predicted you to say physical.
Physical? The thing is, I feel like I don't get that physical with my flirt.
Okay.
Do I?
I love that you're asking me.
Sometimes, maybe.
No, you're right, though. I think that you tend to talk more and, like, hone in a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was, when I was reading through all the behavior ones, they talked about how in the, like, female grouping of people that were physical flirters, they would, like, assess how they would, like, push out their their
bosom
breasts or, like, pop their hip. But, so, the interesting thing about when I was reading through all this, I found that even if men, like self-identified men and self-identified women, resonated with or like tested to be a certain type of flirter, they still flirted in different ways, which I guess is not that surprising, but it was very interesting to read the different ways that men and women flirted.
Right. And is it like compatible? Are you compatible with someone who has the same like flirting style as you?
Oh, that's a good question.
I wonder, or is it like nice to kind of mix and match your styles?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think that they answered that question in the research, but it was just kind of observing, because I think what they did is they sent a bunch of people on like, I think it was like speed dating or something like that. And they just made them take the test before and then observe them and saw that like, almost all the behaviors were like pretty consistent with each other. And then they would have certain things of like, in these cases, like men would like lower their voice, whereas like women tended to just like start listening more. So I thought it was very interesting.
That is interesting.
I was getting really frustrated because I was like, all of these things are just about cis straight people.
Yeah.
And, you know, we live in a cis heteronormative society.
That we do.
But I found this really, really great study done by Clark, Oswald, and Peterson.
Okay.
I hope I'm saying all their names correctly. And the main thing that they were looking at was trying to figure, they were trying to like dismantle this like cis and heteronormative aspect of looking at flirting, because a lot of the flirting research leads back to like child rearing. Like in that first study, they talked about like the reason why women will like pop their hips is to like show that they have like ample hips to bear children.
Oh my god.
And I was like, well, maybe, but like maybe not.
Right.
And they said that they were really frustrated about that, and they wanted to look into other ways in which that like flirting can influence, or different aspects of people's identities and lives can influence their flirting. And what they found, funnily enough, was that gender was the best predictor for what type of flirting tactics you'd end up using, and sexual orientation did not have an effect at all. Isn't that insane?
No, I don't agree with that.
Maybe you don't.
I disagree with their scientific study.
Well, and they did say when they were talking about this, they said that maybe it's because the measures that they have right now are based in like heterosexual like relationships.
Yeah.
But they tended to like really try to flesh out these like, because I think they did gender, sexual orientation, and then like masculinity and femininity.
Okay.
And this, to say that it predicts their behavior is more so just like trying to find patterns. So it's not to say that like some people, their sexual orientation may like affect the way that they flirt. It was just that in terms of statistics, it didn't significantly change anything.
Right.
And the main thing too is they talked a lot about how traditional masculinity and femininity predicted flirting for both straight and queer people. Because it's like, it kind of makes sense when you think about like, you know, we've talked, I've talked to you a little bit about like sexual scripts and how in queer relationships, you aren't really given like this path. And so a lot of queer people will still follow down this like kind of set out straight path. So a lot of the things they talked about was like men who are very masculine will fall into this like very, they called it the aggressive flirter, which was like the person that was initiating everything. And then men who were more feminine would tend to be more passive. And it was the same thing for women, where it was like more like masculine women would, or masculine presenting women would take on this like kind of assertive role of like, I'm going to start the flirting now.
Yeah.
And the more like feminine person would be more passive.
That's interesting. I mean, it does make sense. And like whether flirting feels as though it's coming naturally to you or it's a little bit harder to pick up and learn.
Yeah.
We are kind of basing our flirting off of what we see and observe and the roles that we put ourselves into.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense to kind of follow that path. With what we've traditionally seen flirting to be.
Absolutely. It makes a lot of sense. I thought that was pretty cool.
That is cool.
I just love that there was so many things about it. I want to say one more thing because it's very, very fun. This one I was really excited about because they really did a study called Deal Breakers in Flirting.
That's so sick.
This study is by, and I'm really hoping that I pronounce it correctly, Apostolou and L.F. Thoreau.
Nice. I think that's what it was.
So teehee, they found 69 acts
that
were considered turnoffs when flirting, but then they classified them into 11 deal-breaker classifications.
Okay.
So this is scientifically proven to be deal-breakers.
Okay.
First, slimy approach.
What does that mean?
You know, like kind of like a, you know, when someone's like kind of weird.
Oh, yeah.
like kind
of, hey, hey, little mama.
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you come on over here and show me what you're made out of?
Yeah.
Is that a fighting thing?
I think that's a fighting thing.
Okay, whoops.
Like, yeah, kind of like the person that you see and that they're hitting on everyone at the bar. And
right.
You're like, this guy's pretty weird. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to be around him.
Totally.
Then there's bad hygiene.
Okay.
Which
that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Lack of exclusive interest. So if you see them flirting with everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're flirting with you.
Oh, my gosh.
You're like, I want to be special.
That's so true.
So true. Different views.
Okay,
like different like political and moral views that come up in conversation. Vulgar vocabulary.
F-S-H.
What?
A.
F-S-H-A?
I'm not spelling. I'm shortening curse words.
Oh, like the F word?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah, because we can't swear on this radio show,
exactly.
I guess. Well, this actually kind of really hit me because I do sometimes have a bit of a potty mouth. And I'm known to just kind of throw in a swear word when it's not really
you
necessary.
You actually do catch me off guard all the time, just like with random curse words, like adding the F word into the middle of a sentence. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah,
what
I
are you so upset
why.
About?
I've been really trying to work on it recently. Anyways, I guess that's why.
Don't do it while you flirt.
Everyone's turned
least.
Off by me. Lack of intelligence, which I thought was very funny.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
Narcissism.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes.
Lack of humor or low self-esteem.
Oh, my gosh.
That one was really
sad. That is sad.
I was like, you can't help it. Maybe they're...
That's also funny to group lack of humor and low self-esteem together.
I know. I was wondering why they did that, but maybe it's because... I guess that they're, like, linking being, like, funny with, like, being confident in some way.
That's actually... That's not a bad connection to make.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty smart. I guess they did it, but I explained it, so I'm taking thing.
I'm just, I lack intelligence. That's why I couldn't make that connection.
Excessive intimacy.
Whoa.
I guess, I mean, personally, I feel like if someone was like all over me when we were flirting, I'd be like, whoa, let's calm
slow
it down,
down
a second.
True.
But they use the term poor looks.
Oh, my God.
But it was really just, like, being unattractive.
Right.
But they did group it as kind of, like, this idea of not so much of, like, there was one little thing that was, like, being, like, physically unattractive in a stereotypical sense. But also it was, like, not wearing, like, a flattering outfit or, like, not putting, like, effort into your looks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I kind of get it. I mean, there's a reason why I get
definitely.
Dressed up before I
go
out.
100%.
And the last one was stinginess.
Huh. I hate that one. As in, I hate that that's one of them.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, being, like, when I've seen people be generous, I tend to, like, think of very highly of them.
Yeah. Well, again, like, all of these have an opposite, which is tended to be what is attractive. And
right.
I think that might be it. But also, I mean, there's probably a bit of the stereotype of, like, this person didn't offer to pay. But it's like, we talk about this a lot. Like, we're all in, we're not in university anymore, I guess. But we're young. Not everyone has money. Mm-hmm. Like, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
And, you know. If someone had all of these things, maybe they'd be the most repulsive person in the world. But
I could see that.
A stingy, ugly,
slimy,
low
smelly,
self-esteem
narcissist.
Right. I don't know how that would work. And then the other interesting thing that came out of this was that they showed that, like, female and older participants tended to be more affected by these types of behaviors, which kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that slimy approach, lack of exclusive interest, and excessive intimacy were the three factors that affected people the most.
Well, that is very good to know.
Now we know.
I will no longer be approaching everyone very slimily.
Yeah, and I'm going to definitely wear deodorant nowadays.
Yeah.
I haven't been wearing it at all.
My bad.
I've just been so narcissistic recently, so I think I might try to
tone that down. Well, it's time to take a little break, listen to some ads, and when we come back, we're going to be playing a very fun game.
I'm so excited.
Where Halle is going to react to some pickup lines that I throw her way. So, do not go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Awakened one. Listen without distraction.
Listen to Breakfast with the Browns every Monday morning.
From 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Something that just offers you the place, the chance to stay in a mood.
Breakfast with the Browns.
The best in ambient, downtempo, electronic, ASMR, pop loungecore music. Totally Alpha Wave.
On CITR 101.9 FM.
Thus the most ordinary movement in the world may agitate a thousand odd disconnected fragments, now bright, now dim, hanging and bobbing and dipping and flaunting.
So, beauty remains in the impossibilities of the body.
You know that, don't you?
Wake up.
Hey. We're back. I'm trying to lower my voice to be more flirtatious.
Oh, yes, of course.
You're listening to the Therapy Hour, CITR 101.9 FM. We're getting real flirty. I'm getting sweaty in here.
Hot and steamy in the studio this fine Monday afternoon, evening?
I'd say afternoon.
Yeah, the sun is still out and shining. And we're getting flirty.
Yeah, we're flirty. We're flirtier than ever. Thank God no one else is here.
Yeah, honestly, it'd be really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, Halle.
Yeah.
I have some fun pickup lines that I want to run by you.
Yeah.
And I want you to tell me what you think of them.
Sure, I can do that.
I would like to be transparent that I got these pickup lines from this article by Parade called 101 Cheesy But Cute Pickup Lines That'll Kick Your Flirting Game Into High Gear.
I have never been more excited.
And everyone should look it up because there's this most hilarious photo.
Can I see?
Of these two little nerds.
Oh my God.
I guess being in love. I don't know. I wonder which pickup line they used because it looks like it worked.
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Cool.
I'm so ready.
Halle, I ought to complain to Spotify for you not being named this week's hottest single.
I've never heard that one before.
It's pretty unique.
That's
well, there are
good.
101 of these. So.
There's 101?
Yes, there are. We're not going to go through them all, obviously.
Well, no, I would assume not.
Yeah. So you like that one?
I like that one.
Okay, cool. I don't know. It's like Spotify. It's like a little, like, why are you name dropping a brand?
Well, I feel like that's good, though, because then you can find out if they're on Apple Music or not.
True.
Because I don't think I want to be flirting with anyone that uses Apple Music.
Oh, shit. You heard it here first. I'm sorry, Chris. Okay. This is such a funny one. Okay.
Okay.
You've got everything I've been searching for. And believe me, I've been looking a long time.
That one's a little desperate, I must say.
Yeah, it's like, why are you disclosing
out
that? I feel like maybe don't say that.
Maybe don't say that. I mean, you can say, like, I've been looking for someone like you for a while. I don't know.
Is that better?
I just, you know, maybe not. But I don't think you need to be telling people how your dating life isn't going that well when you're trying to flirt with them.
Yeah, it's like, nobody wants me. Please.
Please, I'm begging.
Okay. If you were a Transformer.
I'm nervous because I've never seen these movies and I don't know what's going to come next.
You'd be Optimus Fine.
Oh,
get it?
Oh, I do. I know who Optimus Prime is, so I got that joke.
Do you think that only works if you're on a date watching Transformers?
No.
Or you could whip that out at
I think
time.
You could bring that out in most places.
So?
I think that, like, if you saw, I feel like, you know, if you see someone at a grocery store, maybe not, but, like, if you're at the video game store, as you are usually.
Classic. I love it there.
Or if you go to, like, an engineering, like, show off of their robots, like, mm-hmm. I feel like that's a pretty good time to bring that up.
I love these scenarios that you're creating.
Well, I feel like we have a pretty wide audience. I just want to tick all the boxes, you know?
I appreciate that. Okay, here's another one.
Okay.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm Violet. Do you remember me? Oh, that's right. We've only met in my dreams.
Oh, I've heard that one.
Aww.
I remember seeing that in a movie and being like, I really hope nobody says that to me.
That's pretty bad. And also, I'm like kind of afraid.
Well, yeah. Also, like, you're introducing yourself to somebody. And, you know, I feel like in this situation, maybe you've never met them before. And then you're telling them that you've dreamt of them. Then I think that you probably have just been stalking me.
Yes, probably.
Which, you know, I don't need that.
I have a perfect one for you.
Oh.
You're from California.
Yes.
So I think you'd resonate with this one.
Yeah, okay.
Whoa. I can't tell if that was an earthquake or if you just seriously rocked my world.
How does that relate to California?
Aren't there a lot of earthquakes in California?
Oh, that was your connection?
Yeah. I think that'd be a perfect one to whip out in LA.
I really like that
mid-earthquake. Earthquake.
Well, it would also be great to whip out here. There's a lot of earthquakes just all along the West Coast. So if you're on the West Coast.
Yeah, use that one.
Yeah, use that one. That was a good, I actually like that one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I added the woe at the beginning in myself. So it wasn't written down.
Well, that's good. I think that was a good, when anyone that's going to use this pickup line, definitely start it off with a whoa.
Whoa.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Do you want some more?
I mean, I've got nothing to do.
Why not? Okay. Let me find another good one. Okay, this one actually does start with wow.
Okay.
When God made you, he was seriously showing off.
Aw, that's kind of sweet.
I cannot believe that was your reaction.
I don't know why that really hit me.
First of all, God.
Well, I was going to say, this is great for anyone that if you see anyone in a religious ceremony.
I love that it's not like, I love that it's just like, okay, here's the situation in which you would need to use
this. Well, I feel like that's important. Like, yeah. You know, I'm not particularly religious myself, but like, I could imagine somebody, you know, maybe you're at Sunday service and like, there's a really hot mama sitting next to you, but she loves God and you got to tell her. I don't know why that, it was kind of sweet. I liked
it. Yeah, that one hit you. Here's another God one that you might like. These ones seem to be working on you. I'd say, wait. Sneeze.
Achoo!
I'd say God bless you, but it looks like he already did.
I've been trying to get away from
that
saying
one was
bless
pretty
you.
Smooth.
That was pretty smooth.
What do you say instead?
I try to say gesundheit.
Okay.
Because I don't like the idea that it's a religious thing, and I'm not very religious.
It's very ingrained in me to say bless you after someone sneezes.
I had a history teacher that always used to say gesundheit, and I asked him if he was German, and he said no. And I was like, why do you not say bless you? And he was like, just because I don't believe in God. And I was like, hmm. So it's kind of been an up and hill battle since then for me. So I don't know if I would use that on somebody, but maybe someone would use it on me.
And would it work?
Probably. Okay. I feel like, honestly, this is my general opinion about pickup lines, is like no one actually does pickup lines.
No.
And honestly, if someone did, it would kind of be a flex.
Really? You think so? It'd be like so ironic and cheesy that it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it has to be like, I don't want just like a regular one that everybody knows. Like, I feel like if someone's listening to this and wants to flirt with me.
Yeah.
Go to this list and find the most obscure one.
Yeah.
And then say it. Because I think it's just so funny. Like, especially if you've already been flirting for a little bit. I don't know. Like, I could imagine a situation where it's, like, kind of fun. And you're like, oh, that's so cheesy. Ha ha ha.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, here's one more.
Okay.
Our last one.
Okay.
And if this doesn't work, I'll cry.
Oh, no.
Okay. If you let me borrow a kiss, I promise I'll give it right back. You like that? Did that work?
Sure.
Wow.
I think that would be a perfect one to say to someone at a party, though, if you've been flirting with someone for a little
really?
Bit.
Really? I was just remembering, I was talking to some friends earlier about a time that this guy and me and I think other people, too, had all taken a shot together at a bar. And then he was like, you know, in my culture, we kiss after we take a shot. And I was like, you're not getting a kiss from me, mister.
No, but I was like,
that was kind of a good, that was kind of smooth.
Yeah, I would, if I was attracted to the person, maybe I'd kiss them afterwards. Have you ever had, like, other than that, have you had someone that's used pickup lines seriously on you?